Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you today.
Mike, the question I keep getting from friends and acquaintances, so when is the stock market going to collapse? Is it tomorrow? Later today? But everybody keeps thinking it's going to crash at some point, or let's say a major correction if we want to be politically correct.
Well, I'm bearish on the market too, as it sounds like the people asking you this are. But this has been a different sort of bear market than any of us has ever experienced. And I believe it's a bear market. I mean, the S&P 500 is still down almost 15%. It fell over 20%. The NASDAQ fell more than that. But more importantly, I define a bear market as one in which a market is trading below the 200-day moving average, and the moving average is acting as resistance, which it's been doing all year for the S&P 500. In a bull market, it'll act as support, and typically will get a drop to that moving average at least once a year, and then it becomes a great buying opportunity. But now what's happened is we've rallied into that, hit it last week, and the market has since stalled out. And I'm concerned that it's likely the end of the rally. We saw massive speculation as we reached the peak in these meme stocks, which all have, most of them have crashed. They soared and crashed, basically, which I think is a sign that one of the interesting things about those is that it's not the FANG stocks that went up and got people excited this month. It was meme stocks. You know, in the years past, people would buy the Facebook, the Amazon, Netflix, and Google, NVIDIA, and so forth, with the idea, I'm holding it, it always goes up. And they're not doing that now, because when they hold those stocks, they lose money. So I think what's happened is people saw the market rally. They wanted to be a part of that. So they tried doing the meme stocks. And I look at Fidelity has a thing on its website where it'll show you the top traded stocks every day, and these stocks were at the top of the list. So, you know, I think that's one thing that's happening is individuals are trying to become traders instead of investors. But those are the active traders. You know, a lot of people are taking money off the table. I've taken money off the table, and if people are asking you if they think things are going to crash, they probably have too. I mean, meme stock trading to me isn't an answer. That's just kind of like going to the casino and heading straight to the slot machine. But when is it going to crash? Well, the thing about what's happening in the market is a lot of people over the course of the year that I've seen make comments about the market, they're either expecting it to crash real quickly, or if they're bullish, they think, oh, it's going to rally back up to the high. So in March, when the S&P got to 4,200, it held around that for a month and then turned up. And people I saw on Twitter, professional traders, they were thinking, oh, it's going to rally up to the high. And then it topped out and went back, you know, made new lows. And then at the same time, you know, we haven't seen the crash. So what I'm trying to say is people are expecting something big to happen in the markets, And so far, it hasn't happened. And that, I think, is something to recognize. What is going on, in my view, is a slow motion bear market. And it may not crash, so to speak, until we get to the end of it, which I don't think is going to happen until next year. Typically, when you're in a bear market, it goes lower, but people don't think of it as crashing till you get a panic washout. The Dow going down 1,000 points in a day, maybe a couple days in a row, for example. And so far this year, we haven't seen panic at all, which is quite remarkable to me. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I thought, oh, we're heading in a bear market, but we'll probably see a real panic decline and a good big rally after that. But we never got the panic. In fact, we've rallied three times to those 200-day moving averages, which is really, and so far stalled out at it, which is really unusual too. So in the bear market of 2007 to 2009, in 2008, it rallied to that 200-day moving average only once. And the same thing in 2002, 2001, also. And so it's quite unusual. And perhaps the reason why it's a slow motion bear market is while there are many people, you know, being cautious, I think doing the right thing, there are also many people doing the opposite, and you know they're putting more money into the market even as it's going down. In fact, July saw a record inflow in the U.S. stock market of people buying stocks. So I think that's what's slowed down the speed of the decline in the market. But as I said, typically the so-called crash is towards the end. I mean, in 2008, the stock market had peaked out a year, 12 months before the crash of 2008 that happened in the fall that everyone remembers. The S&P, in fact, it had made a decline from October to January, October 2007 to January 2008. It fell 20%. And then rallied in the summer, but that crash everyone remembers, you know, didn't happen 12 months later. So that's what I think is going on. I think we're early in the bear market, and it's a slow motion one. And I don't think it's likely to end of next year because, typically the bottoms come in at least, usually 3 to 5 months before the end of a recession. And I think we're in a slight recession in the United States. The first two GDP quarters were negative. But one of the things I look at are the futures for real estate prices. And I found them to be an accurate forecaster of where the prices are going. And they're projecting that the real estate price in the U.S. have softened since May, and the futures are projecting that they're going to decline 13% from the May peak, which isn't like something I think people should be scared of. That doesn't suggest a real estate crash or something like 2008 again, but a 13% pullback in real estate prices, which it was ironically, you know, it's much less than what the stock market's pulled back. But they're projecting that pullback won't end till the fourth quarter next year. So if that's correct, I don't think the bear market here is likely to end this year, probably not until late spring or summer, perhaps, of 2023. The farther out you try to project things, the less accurate you are going to be at it. But I certainly don't think it's ending this year. So I guess to finally get around to answer your question, I don't think the crash will happen till next spring or next summer at the earliest.
We'll have more with Mike Swenson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, Radio and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, crude prices have been coming down, but with the energy crisis in Europe, how long can lower gasoline and oil prices last?
Well, I think we're seeing a softening overall in the commodities market, probably linked to just a recession, you know, global recession. I mean, I said the U.S. is in a recession, but it's the economic data is more negative in Japan, in China, and Europe is suffering, of course, even more than the United States. And I think this is what's behind the pullback we're seeing in commodities. And agriculture is pulling back. Gold and silver have even pulled back some. And as you mentioned, oil has too. Oil was $125 a barrel in June, and now it's trading around $95. I think it can stay like this in a slightly negative trend, but I don't really... I'm skeptical that the prices will go much lower than this because we're likely to see an increase in demand across the board as winter comes and not really an increase in supply due to the war in Ukraine. And there's no sign that that's, you know, ending before the fall. So that may not end in next year either. So I guess another way to put this is I think we're seeing a pullback in energy prices. And I think what we're going to see from here is the rate of that pullback kind of really slow down and some more sideways stabilization in the energy market from here. Perhaps that will lead to a new rally for energy before the end of the year, you know, late fall or something. I could certainly easily see that happening.
Now, battery metals with the Anti-Inflation Act or whatever it's called, they've been put on the forefront here. Are those the areas that you'd like to invest in while prices for miners are still relatively low?
Well, you're talking nickel, cobalt,
yeah.
Lithium. And lithium.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're all interesting. With those, you kind of have two choices if you want to invest in those. One is large cap. There's very few large mining companies that specialize just in one of those individual metals. So if you want to buy a miner, you're kind of looking at a conglomerate company, like, and it's a stock I've owned from time to time and probably will be buying again. It pays a big dividend, but it's also linked closely to the energy market. So I think it's likely to go sideways from here to the end of the year, then turn up. So that's one way to play it. The other way is really to buy more of the small cap exploration stocks, which are specializing, you know, in discovering those sort of deposits. With those, they're kind of being, at the moment, impacted by a slowdown in the junior mining stock market that really started in May when silver broke down. For whatever reason, it seems like silver and these small cap mining stocks tend to trade closely together. Like when silver is in a correction, then these tend to correct too. It's like, well, what really tends to happen is that the trading in these small cap mining stocks tends to dry up and they become less liquid. That, though, you know, can lead to a great buying opportunity for people who take advantage of it. It's tricky because if you do it too early, then you get caught. You know, the things could fall pretty easily, 30% if you try to sell. I mean, if you own a big position, your own selling can make them decline. So what I like to do is make a watch list of them, figure out which ones I like to get into or buy more of. And then watch the price of silver and look to buy once it starts to turn up. So right now, you know, silver is around $19 an ounce. It's got a low of 18 in July. If it can go sideways here and build a base over the next couple weeks and break above the recent high, then I'd be looking to, you know, start myself, you know, buying some of these junior mining stocks. Don't even necessarily need to wait for it to break out to the high. Just see it, you know, go sideways here and hold the lows and build a base here would be positive. But look, there's so many of these juniors that are really at discounts. You're trading at market caps of $5 million, and typically they'll get to $25 million if all they have is just pure expiration plays on a, you know, rally that lasts for 6 to 12 months. So I definitely think it's an arena people need to be doing their digging and getting ready to buy for.
I know you like to keep an eye on what the Robin Hooders are doing. Are they taking a look at natural resources or mining, things like that, or are they still stuck on their meme stocks?
No, they're stuck on the meme stocks. I mean, it's in Tesla. It's fewer and fewer big caps that we're familiar with and more really obscure companies that they pile into, you know, and then the stocks come and go. Sundial is still at the top of the list. But it's like Rivian, Tilray, Coinbase. I don't know what Fuel Cell Energy is. That's on the list. I'm looking down it now, but, DWAC is still on the list. What's been happening, though, with them is millions of them have blown their accounts out and ceased to be active traders. So I think what we're seeing is a smaller number of people doing the same sort of trades that they've been doing all along, and none of them really trying to do anything different. So I think they're missing the boat, you know, on commodities and all sorts of stuff. But that's just the way it goes, I guess. I guess they need to get you know, eventually they'll start buying newsletters that'll help them learn about these things and stop, you know, looking at the Reddit message boards, I suppose.
Well, so far they have felt they were brilliant because they made money, and at some point they feel they're going to make money again, but I think it was more luck than brilliance, wasn't it?
Well, that's how bull markets are when you get to at the very end, just about everything goes up. But more importantly, not just the end of a bull market. I mean, during a bull market, like I was saying, you can get a pullback to that 200-day moving average once or twice a year, and then the market will, you know, bounce and make new highs. So if you buy something at a top of a rally, and it pulls back, you can hold on, and then it'll go up, and you'll, you know, make your money, you know, as long as you hold on. But in a bear market, that it doesn't work. You buy into these rallies, then when the market turns down, you don't make your money back. You can just lose more and more and more. Yeah, it's been the story for so many of these crypto coins, for example, account destroyers. But look, you think back to cannabis stocks were red hot a couple years ago. And I was looking at Aurora Cannabis, and that stock a couple years ago was it was 180, and now it's less than $2. It was 180 in January 2018. So that's the wipeout when you're in a bad when a sector's in a bear market, and this is now the story for many stocks inside the stock market, and this is just killing these people with these Robinhood accounts. And what the answer is they gotta forget about these fad plays, forget about the crypto coins, and get into something new that is bottoming for real, and can go into a bull market. or is in a bull market. And some of them will do that. Most won't. Most will lose, or blow their accounts out and say, well, I was manipulated and I can't win. But some will say, okay, I made a mistake, or I didn't do my homework, I got caught up in hype, take some responsibility for what their results have been. And then if they do that, they can say, okay, I need help. I need to learn how to really do this. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then they'll look for sectors where it's worth putting money to work. And those are the type of people that I think will be getting into gold, mining stocks, juniors, commodities over the next 10 years. Those will be the new stock market winners. There was a whole generation like that what I saw in the 2000s, that after the NASDAQ bubble burst in 2000, I was going to junior mining conferences in 2002, and there were people there that were getting into those markets for the first time, and they outperformed the stock market for 10 years. And I think that's going to be the case again. It's going to be people who become the new listeners to your show. Are the ones that are the market winners in the next 10 years, instead of the Robin Hood player.
Well, it's because they get to hear people like you, Mike.
Well, it's not just me. It's all your other guests too. And many of them are much more knowledgeable about individual companies than I am.
And, of course, I hear from friends saying, nobody warned me that this could happen. And I said, if you'd been listening to HowStreet.com, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.